In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliot to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking today about the shallow and the profound. One of the great mistakes that Christians make is to attempt to categorize the things that they have to do as either spiritual or unspiritual, or perhaps secular. Have you thought about Jesus going to a village wedding? Now, was that spiritual or was it unspiritual? Was it secular? Which category do you think that would be? Well, I can imagine you saying, "Oh, but when he went to the village wedding, he turned water into wine." Yes, that's perfectly true. That was his first miracle, and I suppose anyone would categorize that as spiritual service. But did he know he was going to turn water into wine? We don't really know what Jesus knew. We know that he was human, and we know that he had emptied himself of the glory that he had with the Father. And he lived as a human being. He lived as an ordinary man, subject to the limitations and the restrictions of being human. Of course, God knows everything. God is all-knowing. But isn't it possible that Jesus left behind all of that all-knowing and subjected himself to human limitations? We certainly know that he subjected himself to human limitations as far as space and time go, don't we? He couldn't be in two places at once. He moved from one thing to another, and he was here on earth for, as far as we know, just about 33 years. So there were limitations. The point that I'm making today is that he was there rejoicing in the celebration of the bride and groom and the parents in a simple, humble village wedding, we suppose. We don't really know how humble it was. It may have been a very expensive wedding. It was a house that had servants, but I suppose many ordinary houses had servants in those days. But when they ran out of wine, that was a great embarrassment for the master of the feast. And who was it that noticed this need? It was Jesus' mother, wasn't it? Women are the ones who recognize things like that, often before men do. And his mother simply pointed out the need to Jesus. She said, "They don't have any wine." And then she turned to the servants after Jesus had said to her, "What has that got to do with me? My time has not yet come." She turned to the servants, and she said the last thing that is recorded in the Gospels that Mary ever said. She said, "Do whatever he tells you." Now, in the first place, why would Jesus go to a village wedding? It was a mere celebration. But surely the love of Jesus reached out to those people and wanted to rejoice with them and join with them in their joy. Oswald Chambers says, "Beware of allowing yourself to think shallow concerns of life are not ordained of God. They are as much of God as the profound." I'll repeat that. Beware of allowing yourself to think that shallow concerns of life are not ordained of God. They are as much of God as the profound. When you're weeding your garden, mowing your lawn, washing the car, pushing a cart in the grocery store, do you think of these as profound things? Well, certainly not. There's nothing profound about them, but they are shallow. That does not mean that they are not ordained of God. We had a student resident here. My husband and I always have a student living in our house. And we've had some good ones and a few bad ones. And one of the ones that didn't last very long was a young man who was very, very, quote, spiritual, unquote, in the way he talked, but he was not very spiritual in the way he did his work. I guess he thought of the housework and the car washing and the shoveling of snow that we required of him was just shallow stuff, that he was really above that. And when my husband had to correct him about some things which he had left undone, which he was supposed to have done, my husband pointed out that we did hear quite a lot of spiritual talk from this young man, and we wondered if that spiritual talk was rather hollow in view of his performance as a workman. And that young man stiffened up, and he said, "Sir, I am insulted." He said, "The way I do this housework has nothing to do with my spirituality." He was very vocal in public. He was an excellent preacher, and he could certainly put on a good show. His advertised profundity was seriously undermined by his attitude to things that he thought were trivial. You know, a good man is hard to find. A faithful, humble Christian who is prepared to do whatever needs to be done, and to do it for the glory of God, is also hard to find. My friend Will Anderson has begun an organization, which I think the name of it is something like Good People. He is taking young men and training them in character. Things like responsibility, thoroughness, dependability, punctuality, honesty. And he is advertising that there are some good people available to do whatever kind of manual work needs to be done. And I think some offices in a big city are hiring these young men when they need to have furniture moved or any manual job of that sort. Where can you find people who are responsible, thorough, dependable, punctual, and honest? 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." There's a tremendous world of truth in those simple words. When we eat or drink, we do something which is humanly necessary, don't we? There is no merit in eating and drinking. They are absolute necessities in order for us to survive as human beings. When we sleep, is that shallow or profound? It was ordained by God, wasn't it? Certainly it was ordained by God that we should take care of our bodies, that we should exercise and sleep and eat right and drink enough water. And so Paul is taking note of this and pointing it out to the Corinthian Christians and saying, these things are to be done for the glory of God as well as anything else. Not just singing a solo in a church, teaching a Sunday school class, maybe cooking for the church supper. You might think that that was spiritual work, where cooking in your own kitchen is not very spiritual. Think about that. Do all, he says, for the glory of God. It doesn't make any difference how humble the task may be, or how necessary and ordinary it may be. Do it for the glory of God. This verse tells me that nothing is trivial. Nothing is little if God asks it. Is there some little thing that your wife has asked you 4 times to take care of? You had important things to do, didn't you? Does your husband wish that you would get dressed before breakfast instead of slopping around in that awful house coat with your hair a mess and no lipstick? Are you saying to yourself, "Oh, what difference does it make? He doesn't notice anyway." To him, it matters, you know. He may see a messy wife when he says goodbye in the morning, and then he goes to the office and finds very beautifully groomed women. And we hear the sad stories of the breakups of homes because there are many women in the workplace who may be more attractive and make themselves more available in different ways than the wife at home. Spiritual or unspiritual? Shallow or profound? The little thing that matters to your husband, are you willing to work on it and ask God to help you to do it for him or to stop doing it? One of the little things, which is a very big thing in my life now, my husband is always trying to get me to stand up straighter or to sit straight. He comes into my study and I'm hunched over my computer. And he gives me a light thump on the back and he says, "Straighten up, darling, straighten up." And I confess that I get irritated by that. But he's absolutely right. I don't want to be humpbacked. Is it spiritual or unspiritual? Is it shallow or profound? It's something that my husband, who is my head, is asking of me. Now, that is a very simple, ordinary illustration, isn't it? Just there's nothing very big about that. But I think that all of us who are married know that it's little things that turn into big things. It's little things which indicate whether or not we are kind-hearted and willing to do what God wants us to do. Love looks to the happiness of the other. You want to impress people that you are profound? Then Oswald Chambers says you are a spiritual prig, one who offends, irritates by rigid observance of propriety, self-sufficient in virtue, a walking rebuke to others. We don't want to be spiritual prigs. Remember, God became a baby. That was ordained of God. And the things that God gives us to do, we are to do for His glory with thanksgiving.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.